during the Mass, we are very much used to the words holy, holy, holy. We either say those words or sing those words at every Mass that we attend. Those are words that come to us from the prophet Isaiah, from the reading that we have just heard this morning. They are the words that Isaiah hears being sung by the angels in the presence of the Almighty God. And they are words that the church invites you and I to make our own. And yet, for those words to come out of us sincerely, we have to have a sense of the holiness of God. What does that mean, the holiness of God? Well, it means the otherness of God, the transcendence of God, the fact that God is so far beyond us, so much different than us, so much what we are not. It is the kind of thing that made Isaiah feel that his eyes had looked on this all-holy God and that he could no longer live. It was what made St. Peter, when he saw the miracle that Jesus had worked, it's what made him fall at the feet of Jesus and say, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man." In other words, "I am too sinful to be in your presence." It's so important for us to know the holiness of God. Because if we know His holiness, then we know how we are to respond to this God of ours with worship, with praise, with adoration. But Isaiah shows us another way that we are to respond to this God of ours. Isaiah responded by saying, "Here I am, send me." Committing his life to that God. That's what we see Peter do also, and the other apostles. They had seen the holiness of God through the God-man Jesus Christ. And what was their response? It said they brought their boats to shore and they left everything and followed him. St. Paul also responded in that way. At the same time when we talk about the holiness of God, we must also look at another reality. Yes, God is holy. God is beyond us. God is far greater than anything you and I can ever imagine. And yet God has chosen to invite us to share in his very life and his very love. And he has done that for us through Jesus, his Son. St. Paul in that second reading really gives us a summary of our faith. He says he died for us, he was buried for us, and he rose again from the dead. That is the very core of what we believe. that this God of ours has become one of us in Jesus, his Son. And he has humbled himself enough to lay down his life for us. And that he rose again. That he could gather all of us to himself. And that he could share with us his life, his love. Not just for a time, but forever. What is the response that he wants of you and I? Is it not something like the response of Isaiah? Something like the response of Peter and James and John, of Paul? It is, in a sense, to leave everything and follow him. No, I'm not saying he wants all of us to go out and sell everything we have, or to quit our jobs or leave our families. It's leave everything in a different way. It's leave everything in the sense that we put that relationship with Christ Jesus in the first place of our lives. That we center our lives on that relationship. Why should we? Because it is Jesus who is our way to life. It's the message we get in some of the parables of the Gospels. Like the story of the man who found a treasure buried in a field. What did Jesus say he did? He sold everything and bought that field. Or the merchant who found this really wonderful pearl. It said he sold all he had and he bought that pearl. This Jesus is the pearl of great price for us. This Jesus is the treasure buried in the field. We are wise when we give everything to find that Jesus. And would it not be foolish if we know that he is the way to eternal life, if we would not put him at the center of our lives? Sometimes I think we have a fear that if we do that, our lives will become sad and become miserable and become painful. And yet, that is not the example of the saints. When they give their all to Christ, they find not sadness, but joy. They may encounter suffering, but is accompanied by peace. When we give everything to Christ Jesus, when we center our lives on him, we encounter a joy and a peace that nothing else will ever give us. That is what we are invited to center our lives on Christ Jesus. To make his promise of eternal life the very purpose, the very meaning of our existence. In that great confidence that in union with him, we will live forever in the kingdom of our God.